reflection through the wall. Always the local news, always a little too loud. Mia would pull her comforter over her head, but not for long. New York never waited. It expected you to keep pace or get trampled. It was only when she was upright, shivering on creaky floorboards, that she allowed herself a moment to dream. Maybe today would be the day she got the email that changed everything. A short story accepted, an agent's inquiry, a sliver of hope for her collection of half-finished novels and quietly ambitious essays. She imagined her name on a byline, crisp black ink beneath the glossy logo of a literary magazine. Not that she'd ever let herself believe in those daydreams for long. Reality had a way of interjecting, quick and merciless. She glanced at her phone, flicking through her inbox with one hand while the other poured water into the world's oldest electric kettle. The screen was a familiar parade of reminders and bills. A few, "Are you still interested?" Subscription nags, and nothing with the subject line that would mean she'd finally arrived. Not yet, anyway. Her day job, if she could dignify it with the title, waited for her with all the relentless cheer of a children's party clown. Content writing for a third-rate travel website wasn't glamorous, but it kept the lights on and her freezer stocked with Trader Joe's frozen dumplings. Mia's specialty was lists, the 5 best slices in Brooklyn, top 10 rooftop bars to fall in love with, 7 spots for the perfect Instagram selfie. She'd been to none of them, not unless you counted hurrying past on her way to the subway. Still, she could conjure a sun-soaked memory from a Yelp review and make a reader believe she was an authority on everything from Williamsburg's trendiest thrift stores to the city's most elusive speakeasies. Some days, she resented how her creativity had become so transactional, packaged into clickable headlines and SEO-friendly paragraphs. On others, she found herself amused at the elaborate fictions she spun for strangers planning their New York adventures. She'd written about midnight rooftop parties and secret jazz clubs, imagining herself there, laughing in a shimmering dress, a world apart from the girl who reheated leftovers in her slippers. Mia told herself it was practice, the flexing of a muscle she'd one day use for something bigger, something that mattered. Her friends were her lifeline, messy, vibrant, and just as lost as she was. Zoe, who worked at a boutique law firm downtown, managed to be both painfully practical and endlessly romantic, forever playing matchmaker or plotting elaborate schemes to get Mia's writing in front of the right people. Zoe's texts arrived at all hours, bursts of optimism that often made Mia laugh out loud on the subway. She always felt braver with Zoe in her corner, someone who believed in her dreams with a stubborn faith that Mia herself sometimes lacked. Then there was Priya, her college roommate and current confidant, whose tech startup job paid actual money, and who had the sort of boundless energy that made Mia feel tired just watching her. Priya was always dashing from one side of the city to another, running marathons or signing up for improv classes, but she never missed a chance to check in. Their Sunday brunches were sacred, a ritual that kept Mia tethered to the possibility of happiness, even in the face of mounting rent and professional setbacks. Their group chats were a lifeline, a constant swirl of memes, confessions, and late-night encouragements. They celebrated each other's wins and survived the letdowns together, each girl holding a corner of the net that kept Mia from plummeting into self-doubt. It was Zoe who'd first called Mia a closet optimist, claiming that for all her sarcasm and careful cynicism, Mia's stories always ended in hope. And hope was what Mia clung to as she left her apartment, wrestling the stubborn lock closed behind her. The stairwell was musty, thick with the scent of old newspapers and mothballs, but the sunlight streaming through the landing window painted gold stripes across her path. Down on the street, the city greeted her with its usual sensory onslaught, a bicycle messenger weaving through traffic, a saxophonist playing for change by the deli, the intoxicating scent of roasting coffee and something fried from the corner cart. Her steps fell into sync with the rhythm of Manhattan, each stride an act of faith that today might be different. The city's pulse was inescapable. Every sidewalk was a stage, every stoop a throne. It was in the way strangers exchanged glances on the subway,